it says that we may decrease and you may increase, Lord.
Yes, yes.
That it be all about you, God.
Yes.
I put my theology aside, my own understanding aside, my own convictions aside. I say, you speak, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In that
yes.
free
yes.
domain, hallelujah.
Yes.
Lord, these are your people,
yes.
bought by the price of the blood.
Yes.
And Lord, our job is to encourage one another,
yes.
to build each other up, Lord, and march forward in you.
Yes.
So I ask, Lord Jesus, that you just speak through me, that I may be a conduit this morning for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to read from Philippians 1 and verse 27 to 30. And I may have a little bit of a different version than you, but they're compatible. Hallelujah. And it reads, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel.
Oh, yes.
Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw that I had, and now hear that I still have it. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. Hallelujah. As our pastor had asked, or given us the dates, and Rob and I kind of switched dates. And I was thinking, Lord, and asking, praying, God, what do you want? What do you have for your people? And I know that many of us, I do, when you're going to go see a movie, you usually like a preview of the movie to see if you're going to like it or not. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background here. Paul is writing to Philippians, and something is going on in Philippians, and I want to bring that to today, but I just want to give you a backdrop of what's going on. It's like the scenery behind the picture. Paul is saying to Philippians, he's writing, he's in prison, and Philippians was very, they were confused. They were mixing a lot of things together, and Paul's called to preach to Philippians. And he sees in this vision, in the book of Acts, you can read that, he sees in this vision of this man saying, come to Macedonia and help us. Come to Macedonia and help us. So the Holy Spirit did not let him go to Asia where he wanted to go, and he's sending him on a different route, him and Silas and some others. So he goes to Philippians, and he goes to pray. And usually the custom would be that he would go to a synagogue to pray, but he did not find enough people. There was not a synagogue that he could go to. And it led you to think, to wonder, well, maybe there wasn't enough people to form a synagogue. What was going on in Philippians that they didn't have what we would call church today? They didn't have a church. So he goes by the river to pray, and he sees, and there's women at the river. And that's his first person that comes to the Lord. And so he continues to preach the gospel. And I'm just giving you a rough, quick copy of this. He continues to preach. And something happens. There's a young lady that's possessed. And she's going after them, saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, and these are the servants of the Most High God. And Paul gets annoyed. And he rebukes the spirit, and she gets free, and they put him in jail. He frees somebody, and of course, you can, I'm just giving you the background, it's in Acts chapter 16. He frees this young lady, and this all happens in Philippi. He frees this young lady, or the Spirit of the Lord frees her because he rebukes him. And these people from Philippi, they put him in jail for preaching and delivering because he got annoyed. And it doesn't say that the first day he did it. It says after various times that she had gone behind him and said, this is the service of the Most High God. Yet, you know, the enemy couldn't recognize what Paul had.
Yeah.
The people in Philippi couldn't recognize what Paul had. They took him before the magistrates and they said to him, these men are disturbing us with their customs. In other words, they're bothering us, but they're talking about bothers us and what we're doing. They were upset because God had freed this young lady and they could no longer make money off her. Because people would go to her so that she could try to tell them the future. And so they were upset and they were mad and they took them. And the Bible says that they beat them, that they flagged them. In other words, they tortured these men, Paul and Silas, and they threw them in jail because they had rebuked the spirit from a young lady, and they no longer could prostitute her, use her. And so these men are in jail, and they're singing and they're worshiping the Lord. And the Bible says that they even put stocks on them. And if you've ever seen that, it kind of holds your like your ankles, and it really is very uncomfortable. It hurts you. If you have a cramp, you just can't move your foot to get away from the cramp. You're stuck in that position. And these men sat there and they sang and they worshiped God while they were in jail.
Yeah.
And so this is what's exciting here, what excites me, is that God had a plan for Philippi. God had a plan, and Paul was being obedient to God's plan.
Amen.
And so he's being used here. Now they're in jail, and he's singing with Silas. The Bible says that they were singing hymns, and that they were worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden something like an earthquake happened, and the jail cells opened. And the jailer, because it was dark, it was night, and they were like, what we would call in the hole in jail, right? Deep in, because to the role, to these people in Philippi, these two men, they didn't even know that they were Romans. They thought they were Roman citizens. So they just were so angry at these guys for preaching the gospel that they took them, they threw them in deep, and they beat them, and the Bible says that they even stripped them. So here they're worshiping the Lord in the midst of their pain. In the midst of their situation, they're exalting God and worshiping God. The Bible says that they're singing hymns, and all of a sudden, there's an earthquake, and the cell door opens, and of course, the jailer, the one that's in charge, it takes out his sword to kill himself. Because he's thinking, oh my goodness, my prisoners have escaped, they're going to kill me anyway. I guess he figured, better die by my own hands than by their hands. So he's going to kill himself, and Paul says, no, we're all still here. He could have ran. He was free. God opened the door and probably shot himself. He was free. But he valued more the life of that jailer, of that man in charge. And he said, we're all here. And the man says to him, what must I do to be saved? So then, that's the second conversion. The first conversion was by the river. This is the second conversion. And so now, the magistrates and all of them get together and they tell the jailer, let them go. And Paul says, no, I'm not going yet. So that's the backdrop. That's the scenery behind what's going on. Now Paul is prisoner and probably wrong, and he's writing to them. And he's saying to them, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, something is happening in Philippi. Paul's no longer there. And he's saying, remember what I went through when I was there. Remember what I went through, the persecution that I went through when I was with you, and how I stood firm, and you saw what happened, what God started to do. There was a woman that was free, there was people that were being saved by the river, and now there was a jailer, the commander What is he telling them? He's telling them, stand up for what you've been taught.
Yes.
Yes. And don't let other things blend in with you. Because we are separated people. We are holy people because we serve a holy God. And sometimes we start letting things come in. And it's the small foxes that spoil the vineyard. It's the small things that we let to come in that start destroying and start dividing things. And God is saying, no. Content the faith of the gospel that I have shown you. And don't let those little things come in. And I'm going to share a little bit of the things that sometimes are coming in today in the church. And we have something called relativism. And sometimes relativism, it's like you just let things come in that shouldn't be coming in. And this is the meaning for relative. It's a philosophical position that all points of view are equally valid and that the truth is relative to the individual. In other words, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and we're okay. Don't tell me anything different, just accept me, and that's okay. It's called tolerance.
Come on.
And nowadays, people want you to tolerate sin in the house of God. Because if you speak up against it, then you're not being tolerant. And God is saying, no. And Paul is saying, through the Holy Spirit, contend the faith.
Yes.
When you have been taught, when you have believed, what I have shown you from the beginning, how I stood and even went to prison for it, I was beaten for it, but God who showed himself for it, God glorified himself in the midst of it, contend for that. Don't let these little things come creeping in and saying it's okay to be okay and we can keep on going. No, it's not okay. We have to speak the truth. The Bible says that nobody goes to the Father except for the Son, which is Jesus Christ. That is the truth. But it's something else. We can't expect something else. There's something now going out there that's called Christianism, which is Christians and Muslims. And it's not a religion. It's just an ideology or a thought that we can have things in common. Well, you know what? We don't have things in common because Muslims do not believe that Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God. So we have to stand on the truth. What is the truth? The truth is, thank you, my Christians, come on. The truth is that Jesus Christ was God, is God incarnated. That's what the Bible says. So we have to know the Bible in order to know that what they're saying is
that's
not
right
true.
There.
And now they'll say there's something called interfaith. In other words, we say, let's dialogue about our faith. Well, if dialogue means to an argument, I do not want to dialogue with you. Because the Bible is not to argue, it is an absolute truth.
Come on.
You have to believe that face value. It is what it is, but it says that it is. And we can't sugarcoat it. We cannot sugarcoat the word of God. And we let little things creep in and say, it's okay. It's not okay. The Bible says contend for the faith. In other words, stand up for what you've been taught and what you believe in and know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He died and rose again, and that is the gospel in a nutshell. In a nutshell, that's the gospel. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin, came into this world, 33 years, was crucified. Nobody took his life. The Bible says he himself did it. Nobody took it. When he spoke to Pilate, he says, do you know the authority that I have? In other words, stop it. In other words, like in my terms, he would just stop you away. But he chose not to. And he chose to shed his blood because it was the only blood without sin. There was no sin there. Years ago, they had to look for a lamb, a perfect lamb, and check around again. I mean, this was a thorough thing before they would slay this lamb. And now, he came. He comes into the picture. Mm,
thank you, Lord.
And he gives his life.
Mm-hmm.
Innocent blood. Holy blood. That washes us The Bible says, through your sins be as white.
Thank you, Jesus.
White as snow. He washes us with the blood. And now things are saying, well, no. This is, you don't have to say that. Just keep those comments to yourself. Well, we can't, if we're going to dialogue about the word, we got to say this on us is the truth. And we can't say sin is not sin. It's like we're calling what's right wrong and what's wrong right. And we have to wake up, and as the body of Christ, God is saying content for the faith. Believe what you have been taught and stand firm in it and stand up for it. And ask God to be able to be a witness for the kingdom of God. We have to know the word. And I admire my pastor. I don't have the reference to that like he does, and I challenge myself with that. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will bring it up. If you read it, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind when you need it. Because that's the God that we serve. The Bible says that he will remind you of everything that I have spoken. That's the word of God. So he will remind us of everything that he has spoken. We cannot let these ideologies or these ways of man of thinking and bring it into the church and bring it into the body of Christ and say, it's okay. No, people of God, we need to wake up and know what's happening out there. This is what's happening. People are preaching a different Jesus, a different gospel. And they're saying, it's okay for you not to say that Jesus is Lord and King. No, it's not okay. Nobody goes to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the truth. There is an absolute truth. We don't, well, nowadays, they don't want you to say there's an absolute truth. They want the relativism. They want to make a mixture of this and a mixture of that and be tolerable to me and I'll be tolerable to you. And I'm not saying, now, because I know that this is probably, I don't know, but anyway, if it is being televised, whatever. I'm not saying that if there is a need and somebody that's from a different religion says, that's the first century, can you help us with this need, that we will not help. That's humanity, right? You want to go and help somebody else. That's okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're saying that we have something in common with Muslims when they deny Jesus. We don't have anything in common with Muslims. We do not. And sometimes the truth hurts. But it's okay. It's okay. Because when Paul was speaking to Philippi, he says this. He says, I know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened. So we can't be frightened in any way by those that oppose you. So God is saying, stand firm in what you have believed. Contend for the faith as one. And I was thinking about the word unity. And you know, when you look up the word unity, in math, it just means one. So even though there's many of us here, we stand as one.
Yes.
And God wants us to stand as one. God wants us to stand as one. If my brother hurts, I hurt. If my sister hurts, I hurt. And it's because of that unity that the world will see Jesus. Because the Bible said when God be lifted up, then he will draw all men unto him. How is he lifted up? Because we don't see Jesus. This is a walk of faith right now. We believe by faith what has been preached to us. And we will continue to preach to others. You know, this morning, Rob and I were discussing, and we were talking about young people, and we were saying, you know, he was saying, it's sad, this generation. I recently went to a Christian concert, and I have to say that one of the songs that were sung, the young guy who was singing, he was saying, we're all monsters, and and I just laughed, because I said, Lord, and I looked around, and I said, wow, how many young people are there just screaming along with this young man that's calling them monsters, and they're agreeing with it, and naive to what it is to worship the Lord. So I'm like, Lord, what's going on? But then as we were talking this morning, there's a remnant. There's a remnant, because God always has a remnant. There's a remnant. people that you and I have been able to impact or been able to speak the truth of God's word to, that will someday rise up and say, no, I no longer believe that because I've been told the truth, and this is what the word of God says. So we need to teach the truth. We need to. And it's hard sometimes because we don't want, I love people, so I don't want to hurt people. But the word of God is the word of God, and it cannot be compromised. And if you lose a friend for speaking the word of God,
that's the truth.
Then lose a friend, because there wasn't a friend to be able. We need to understand that God is calling us to higher heights. Higher heights. But we can't let little things creep in and say, well, because it's not well. It is not well. David said, examine me, O Lord. Examine me, O Lord. Look in my heart. Look in my heart. Because from the heart flows other things. And it's not that heart shape that we see even. It's the center of your life. What flows from out of that? What flows from out of that? When Peter was about when he denied Jesus and he was warming up with the world, you guys, right? He's over there by the fire, and they said to him, "Aren't you one of them?" Because he looked different. Maybe he spoke a little bit different. Something about Peter was different that they recognized. You're not one of us. You're one of them. And that's what needs to happen with us. We need to talk different. We need to walk different. We need to react different. We need to look different. We need Jesus to make us different, because he's the difference in the equation. And standing on that. James 1:2 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I was thinking, what gave Paul this assurance? What gave Paul the assurance to talk to Philippi the way he did, besides all his experience? Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father will be given unto you. I cannot go to an apple tree and try to get oranges. It's not happening. So a lot of people say, and I know, because I probably said it a couple times when I was a young person, don't judge me. You don't know my heart. Don't judge me. But you know what? You're right. I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. But your fruits will speak.
He knows how you should live. That's right.
Your fruit will speak. Because we cannot go and do things and participate or partake of something and then call ourselves something else. It just doesn't line up. And it doesn't line up to the word of God. So God is saying, we're one. Now contend for the faith that you have believed, that you've been taught from day one. Stand firm. Contend for it. In other words, you're in a battle, right? To contend for something, you have to fight for it. And God has equipped, right? Ephesians 6 gives us the armor of God and how we. This is a war. You know, I was watching. I went to the movies and saw that movie of Louis Zambrini. Thank you. And he was 47 days, if I'm not mistaken, in the water. There were three soldiers, and they were all in this little boat together. And how they helped one another was amazing. And how they just kept each other, just trying. Eventually, one of them did die in the boat, but how for days they kept one another, they encouraged one another, they worked together to try and catch flying birds to eat because they didn't have anything to eat. And I was sitting there, I was saying, wow, we should be like that in the body of God. We should be like one, just helping each other, just living for, okay, Lord, where do you want me to serve? What can I do for your kingdom, God? Who can I serve for you, Lord. Let us be one in him. So that we can serve one another. So that we can encourage one another. So that we can stand firm in the faith. So that you can pray for me and I can pray for you when something is going on. When we need to contend for the faith because something is trying to creep up. Or we're getting bombarded from different avenues. Because the Bible does say that we will suffer for the cause of Christ. And thank God that in America we haven't suffered persecution maybe yet. I'm not saying that it's coming, but I'm going to say that it's not. Because when you have leaderships of the country saying, let's accept everybody, but when let's take Christianity away from the equation. You can say you're every religion, but if you try to talk about Christ, you're being intolerable. And that doesn't even make sense, because for them refusing you, they're being intolerable. They're always believing. It's nonsense. But they're blind. And so the Spirit of God gives them the clarity. So that's why we need to keep on praying and asking God. And there's so many things out there, but Luke 10:16 says, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So this is not about you nor I, it is about him. Deuteronomy, if you want to go to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:14, do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. Acts 20:27, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. God is calling us to deeper depths. Deeper depths. You know, I was studying something with my students in the Amazon, and I was looking, and the trees in the Amazon, they're really big trees, but they're very shallow. And so the illustration was very beautiful. The tree was very tall, but you could see the roots. Yeah. And so during a storm, these trees can easily fall because they're not rooted into the ground. The roots are very visible. And I was thinking, Lord, and I know it's probably just me, but I always take it to the Bible, and I was saying, Lord Jesus, that's how we can be. Our roots cannot be grounded in, and we're superficial, right, on the surface, right? And I'm not saying superficial Christians, what I mean is that we're not grounded in the Word. We're not rooted in the Word. We're not rooted in Christ Jesus, which is the cornerstone. And so any wind will take us down. Any situation could take us down because we're not rooted. We're shallow. But I remember when I went to, even though I'm Puerto Rican, I was born and raised in the States. I remember when I went to Puerto Rico and when I went to Florida for the first time, and I saw palm trees. And at one time, when we went to Florida, there was a hailstorm. And I remember seeing the trees, and of course I was terrified, but you know, that's the sad thing. And I remember seeing the trees just bending over, like they look like they want to break. And I said to Rob, oh my goodness, these trees are going to fall in the cars and people are going to be killed, and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no, they're not. I said, do you see that tree? He said, yep. And after the storm, it'll stand right back up. I said, no way. And he says, yeah, well, he's from Puerto Rico, so he's seen it before. And I was like, so anxious just to see. And that's exactly what happened. The palm tree sways wherever the wind takes it, halfway. I mean, it looks like it's going to break. But once that storm is over, it goes right back up. That's what we need to do. In the middle of the storm, Lord God, Lord help me, Jesus. This means that it's going to break, Lord. I can't take it anymore. I'm hurting, Jesus. But right after the storm, you stand right back up and it's okay. What's my next assignment? That I'm here. Because you are enlisted in the army of Jesus. Because some people say, well, okay, anybody that preaches something else, then what are you saying? We're saying this. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus Christ came holy. He was not made by a man. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. He came. He was born of a virgin. And then he lived this like baby life, living for a life, 33 years old, and witnessed and did everything that God told him to do, being God himself. And then he gave his life up. And 3 days later, he rose again. He rose again. That is the difference. That is the difference. That is why we follow the Bible, because we know that nobody else has been able to rise himself up again. He is Lord. Everything shall bow before him. We either bow now or we bow later, but we will bow because the word of God is true.
Yes.
So anybody that says anything different and accept this and accept that, say no. The word of God has told me to contend for the faith. 1 Timothy 1:4, and I'm going to be done. It says, these people have devoted themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some people have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. And I have to stop here. Faith can be trusted in Christ, but faith is used for the truth we believe about the one we trust. We aren't saved by believing instead of ideas. That's not your salvation. We are saved because we believe what Jesus Christ has done.
Our conviction.
Not only do you believe his ideas, but you trust it. Does that make sense? You have faith in what he has said, that it is true. And that's what you stand on. Prayer is indispensable. We're living these days where things, we need to live on our knees, basically. Because prayer is indispensable. God is telling his people, contend. Contend for the faith. Stand firm in what you believe. Fight for this truth, the way Paul and Silas did. And even though they were beaten, and even though they were tortured, and even though they were thrown in jail, they kept on saying it and believing. And you know, the Bible says, Paul speaking, he says, pray for me that I may boldly make known this truth to God. And I pray that also for myself, Lord, that I may boldly, because you know, when those trying times come, when you stand before somebody and you're not sure if what you're going to say is going to cost you something, you need to have the boldness that only comes through the Spirit of God. That only comes through the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have something. We're going to be able to pray that for
you.
I pray that the Spirit of God has spoken to the body of Christ. I pray that the Lord has told us, because I apply to myself also, that we need to contend for the faith. We need to stand firm and believe what God has said. I want you to listen to this with me, and then if anyone would like prayer, the altar is always open. Thank you, Jesus.
Find that out.
and that we're able to lay everything else aside for Him. And sometimes it may cost us. It may cost us a friendship. It may cost us a relationship. It may cost us different things, even intimate. And I'm not saying that you're not going to shed tears for what it may cost you, because I know I have. I know that I have shed tears for relationships that I thought that were deeper, and because I have had to stand on the truth of God's word, it has cost me that relationship. So my prayer is that we continue to stand in contempt for the faith. I'm going to ask my brother Austin to come up, and if anybody needs prayer, they can come up to the front, and he will be more than willing to pray. Thank you for your time, and I pray that the Lord encourage you and to stand in contempt for the faith, and don't let your little foxes come in and spoil the baby, because God is doing a great work. And we are one body, and as one body we will stand. And that's something exciting that I got to see, and I got to learn, because I haven't learned at all about soldiers, but I know that they do stand together. Amen?
Amen.